everyone. Welcome to Podcast Insider. I want to welcome my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. This is take number two.
Yeah, take number two. The technology is fighting us a little.
Yeah, I woke up or started to do a show yesterday and I only had half a meg uplink speed and that doesn't work so good or video. And Rob had actually told me, he said, hey, you look kind of fuzzy on my side. It turns out that I've got commercial line here, commercial internet, and somehow my modem, when it was installed or when they replaced it or something, they just did not register it. So all of a sudden the Spectrum saw this rogue connection out there and said, oh, that we need to throttle that person, whoever that is. So anyway, they finally sorted it out. The lady, of course, you were on with me here just a minute ago when they cut you off. So anyway, we're here, everyone, and we have internet now.
Yeah, no live show, but that's all right.
Yeah, no. And again, I know you don't care, but hey, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, when you're doing an interview show or anything like this, these kinds of things happen. But I think we're going to be okay, Mike. The bandwidth is fat now, so... Well, you should be able to hear me clear.
Yes, I hear you just fine.
Awesome. So anyway, we've got some news for you, some best practices. We've got some Blueberry announcements. Of course, we've got an interview today as well. And then we've got the question of the week, the new segment in the show. Apple basically is still tinkering. So they've got a new embeddable player. And before we go into that, we must mention for everyone that's a Blueberry podcast hosting customer that uses our website player, you can take that as an embed and share that with other folks. There's an embed function for that player as well. So we've had this little trick for a while, but Apple's got a new embeddable player.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what they're going for here, but you know, for those people that have a website that don't currently have a player on there, I guess it's all right. The thing I always worry about when companies like Spotify and Apple and, you know, a few of them have done this, that kind of locks your listeners into that platform. Whereas, you know, if you use something like PowerPress and our embeddable players, you're not locked into any platform.
That's right.
It's cool, but...
You know, here's a challenge with their new embeddable player, though. You have to wait until Apple picks up the episode. So, you know, your listeners get the episode immediately. They're subscribed to your show, but that Apple directory listing doesn't update immediately. So if you want to use that embed for a published episode, it just doesn't make any sense. I guess for cross promotion later or something, maybe. But again, got to wait for them to update their directory. And with PowerPress, then you don't. It's immediate. It's there right as soon as you hit publish. The embed's available and you can share.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And actually, it's not really share because share's a, you can give someone the embed to put it on another website. It's just like a YouTube embed.
Yeah, it's just an iframe. You know, any place that you can stick a YouTube, you can stick your podcast player from PowerPress.
That's right. So Apple did announce as well their holiday hours. So if you're getting ready to launch a new show between November 23rd and 27th, and again, between December 21st and January 4th, there may be delays in approving new shows. This is an annual occurrence. They send this out every year. There's no guarantee that you're going to get turned on pretty quickly. It's maybe more than the normal 5 business days due to team off time. Now, we've seen in the past, even though they announce this, they seem to always be pretty good. They don't seem to run that much behind during holiday time, but maybe this year it'll be different.
Yeah, it could be. We'll see. So anyway, this next story, by the way, is an old story, but I just ran across it. So it was interesting to see how right they were.
Oh, so someone did basically a guess on who was going to be the next podcast acquisition?
Yeah. It was right around the time that Spotify picked up Anchor and Gimlet. And they said, well, who's next? And it was just interesting to read through some of this. You know, Wondery is right on the top of the list. And as we know, they've been in talks with people about possibly buying Cadence 13. I don't know if they got acquired or not.
But
I don't think so.
But anyway, so it's interesting how the predictions kind of panned out to be true.
Yeah. Megaphone and Simplecast was one of them. And of course, they both got acquired. I think XM got one of them and Megaphone was just picked up by Spotify. So, and we're on the list.
Oh, that's interesting. Who'd they think was going to buy us?
They didn't say, but they lumped us together with Podbean, Libsyn, Spreaker, and Buzzsprout. And Spreaker did get acquired just recently, too. So interesting. Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting little history lesson in the news.
So, you know, if anyone's listening to this and has a deep, deep, deep checkbook, okay, we'd always be willing to talk. Hey, Spotify, well, they plays a wait and see about more podcast acquisition. So they're not ruling out more purchases in the 21-22 year frame. So when they make claims like that, it makes you go, you know, they're definitely playing to win here. It really appears that they're doing their best they can to lock up podcasting as much as they can.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to go for the more, you know, like a Joe Rogan type deal with content creators, or are they going to go with some more infrastructure companies? Yeah, who knows? But
who knows?
They're out there with a whole bunch of VC money, so we'll see.
You know, one thing is for sure is that, you know, I talked to someone a couple of years ago and they said, well, what would it take to take all the major players off the board by big companies? And originally I'd said probably $1 billion would do it. But now, no way. You know, Spotify spent $800 million already, or 700 and something.
Right.
I would think then to take really all, we're probably looking $3 to $4 billion. And really, in the scheme of things, that's nothing when it comes to media acquisitions by media companies. So still a relatively small amount to consolidate stuff further. So we'll see what happens. Again, you got deep pockets. Come talk to us.
Yeah, get your popcorn out and watch the show.
But at the same time, though, as a podcaster, this is, you know, a good time to make sure that you're doing the things the Blueberry way, you know, having your own .com, having your own website, you're having control in your feed, control in your brand. And that way, all these consolidations mean nothing to you. Just keep on trucking and doing what you're doing. And maybe you'd be able to score some deal, some content deal with somebody. So
yeah, someone writes you a check with enough zeros on it. Why not?
Why not? You come exclusive to Spotify like Rogan did. But read the fine print. Hey, NBC has signed an exclusive deal with Sirius XM. So what's the story here, Mike?
They signed an ad deal with Sirius XM, and that included a lot of their podcast properties. NBC News, MSNBC, CNBC, all their podcasts. The Today Show has a podcast. All those properties. But, you know, it's kind of a bigger deal than that because they're, you know, with Sirius XM buying Stitcher and Simplecast and all that. So, you know, NBC will likely be moving any of their hosting over to Simplecast. And, you know, maybe they'll have some exclusives on Stitcher. There we go. But
time will tell.
Yeah, it looks like it's a bigger deal than just podcasting. But I threw it in here just because, you know, Sirius XM is now becoming a podcast company, among other things.
So there is a segment of podcasting that people that are musicians, and there's a whole category of shows that do music, and it's kind of rough territory right now for folks doing music shows because of all the rights issues. But there's a little bit of information come out about hosting your podcast as a musician. What's going on there?
It was just, was it Hate Breeds? That must be a band. I'm too old to know who that is. But, you know, these are, you know, musicians themselves that are doing podcasting. It's just a write-up on, you know, how it's kind of changed since the whole pandemic thing, and the whole music industry's changing. It was an interesting article. Mackenzie threw that in there. It's kind of not usually what we talk about, but why not? We'll talk about it a little bit here and definitely throw you a link to it.
And what they're doing is, this is a band that's getting ready to release an album, and there's no concerts, there's no touring, there's no, so how do you get the information out there? So they're talking about, on their show, they're talking about their music. It's called The Josta Show, and they've actually got 500 episodes since they started in 2014. So anyway, they're using their podcast as a way to promote, talk about their music and reach their fans that they not necessarily would have been able to do so.
It's like the comedians did,
yeah.
You know, with podcasting a little bit earlier, they, you know, a lot of the comedians, the reason they're as popular as they are live, when we get back to live shows, is their podcast. You know, look at Rogan, you know, he sells out big arenas now when he does live shows where he didn't before he was doing podcasts.
Right. Interesting. And I think there's a lot of people in the podcasting space now that have started podcasting that have done so specifically because the outlets that they had available to them before COVID have been closed, and they really don't have, maybe they had a Facebook page or something, but they just need a way to reach people. So Yeah, interesting is a concept overall. I think doing a podcast, no matter what you do, should be a consideration, especially in the times we live. And of course, I think this winter is going to be pretty ugly from a health standpoint until, you know, we start seeing some vaccine move. So, you know, I'm looking forward to things getting back to normal sometime next year, but as we all are. But until then, we've got to continue to figure out a way to do business and get people out there to hear us or hear our messages. So, Mike, have you ever thought about having your podcast narrated by somebody else?
Well, sometimes, but I don't know. I think it would lose something in the translation.
I also think that narrated podcast by third parties is a huge, huge lift because you have to write scripts.
Yeah.
But how do you get the nuances of a host, you know, or maybe there was never a host and it's just narrated from the get-go? Seems to me like a lot of work, but there's a new...
Yeah, highly produced stuff, you know, where you do write scripts, probably works for somebody, but... Yeah, that new service here is called Poise.
Yeah, and it's narrated by Poise.com. You can create podcasts from any content, narrated by real voices, not robots. So apparently any content repurposing. So we've seen bots do repurposing of blog posts, a large variety of different methodologies have been used. So this is not necessarily new, but it is definitely something that they think is going to be viable.
Yeah.
From a...
It seems to be a lot cheaper than, you know, hiring a voiceover person too. You know, it's, I don't know how they're doing that, but, you know, they give an example on the website, you know, 300 words for $250 at one company and
300 words.
Yeah. 300 words for $250. Then another company was 500 words for $151. And at this Poise thing, they say 500 words for $11. So, you know,
500 words. You know, we do a word count on this show.
Yeah, it would be prohibitively expensive.
Yes, because if you think about a tweet is 128 characters and maybe 20 words.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's very, very expensive. So anyway, narratedbypoise.com is the website. If you want to check that out, link will be in the show notes. So we've known for years this fact, but it was one of our good friends, Paul Polligan, put out a tweet. They've got a show that is ranked number 5 in their category, pretty hard category to get ranked number 5 in at least an Apple podcast.
Yeah.
And he basically says proof that ratings and reviews in Apple podcasts do not matter for your rank. And we've known that for years. Reviews and ratings are cool. They help feed your ego and make you feel good that someone actually did it, but it has absolutely nothing to do with the rank of your podcast.
Right. Yeah. There's, I follow the aviation, a bunch of aviation podcasts, and every once in a while I like to go in and see in the aviation category or whatever category they're in now, what's the top rated podcast or the top in the ranking. There's a guy on there that hasn't done a podcast since 2011. Joe Dion does one called Fly With Me. That one's still rated number 1 in Apple Podcasts under aviation.
It must be still getting some listens to then.
Oh, yeah. It's a, you know, really highly produced, very cool show. I wish he was still doing it. But anyway, much to the chagrin of a couple other friends of mine, they're still number 1.
That's funny. So anyway, proof that ratings and reviews in Apple Podcasts do not matter. I don't know. I don't really pay a lot of attention to the rankings in Apple Podcasts, but some people do. All right, let's talk about some best practices. And I think this is a good topic because we're seeing more of this. The title of this is, do you really want to join a network? So some of you may get approached at some point to join a network. And while that's exciting and you think, wow, someone appreciates my work, there are pros and there are cons. And you should always approach tentatively and ask lots of questions. But let's talk a little bit about the pros, Mike.
Yeah. Joining a network, like you and I are both part of the Tech Podcast Network, which is a very loosely formed network of tech podcasts, tech-related podcasts.
Right.
And one of the big advantages of that is cross-promotion. You know, back in the day, we used to do it a lot more, but, you know, a lot of times... We'll say, hey, you know, over on the same network, you can hear this show or you can hear that show, whatever. Also, you know, being something bigger than just one show. You guys go out to CES every year. You know, you've spearheaded that for years.
Yep.
Now another guy's doing it. But, you know, it's under the banner of the Tech Podcast Network, and it gives us a little more gravitas at shows like that. And it just makes it seem bigger than just your one show. Another advantage. Go ahead.
And I think that's true too, because it's fun because while you're part of a network, you're still your own solo show. But these events that we go to together, it's just fun and it builds friendships and it's really kind of exciting. You got mentors you can talk to and share information. So again, being part of something bigger than just one show is awesome. But of course, the advertising and sponsorship thing too has huge potential. If the network's super focused, yeah. It's a dog network or cat network or knitting network or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. All those shows can be rolled up and sponsored on one sponsor package. It makes it easier to find sponsors when you're part of a consolidated, tight network.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, like another friend of ours, Glenn there, he has the Horse Radio Network and, you know, he's got a bunch of shows over there and they, you know, they sell ads as a block, as a network, not as just an individual show. And it works out real well for them.
That's right. And, you know, it's about community and sometimes about sharing cost, especially if you're going to an event and you're trying to, as an example, when we would take a big crew to CES, I had the burden of shipping everything in and paying for some bandwidth and maybe we'd get a booth free or whatever. But we would share costs in production, share costs and time. And really, there was all kinds of cost savings there. You may not see that as a podcaster, as part of a network, but I definitely have seen that as part of the thing that we do with our network. But also social proof, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like if you're in with, say, there's one show on your network that's more popular than the rest. Well, just that, you know, you're being endorsed sort of by that network in that show, that gets you exposed to that audience that's a fan of that show.
That's right.
And it gives you, you know, it's like we were talking about with ratings and reviews. That's, you know, not good for rankings, but it is good for social proof. You know, if you've got a lot of rankings or a lot of, you know, people saying your show is awesome, well, that's a good thing. And being part of a network could do that same sort of thing.
And going back to that, Mike, you know, ratings and reviews, you get a review and it's good. You should be putting that review on your website. You know, you should have something there that people aren't going to normally find that at Apple, maybe. But take that social proof information and, you know, use that as a way to build brand awareness and brand validity. But there's also, you know, get off of pros. There's also some cons, and not necessarily cons, but things you have to watch out for.
Yeah, it's not necessarily there's not big negatives, but man, you got to watch what you sign or what the deal is with them.
Yeah. And, you know, part of the deal that I did with my little small network on my website, I just asked the content creators, hey, you got to commit to 2 years and you're going to own your show. If you leave with your show, it's no big deal. I took care of the hosting for the shows that are part of my little mini network. But the ownership question really was right out there in black and white in the mini agreement that we, and our agreement's not complicated, but it is an agreement that the podcasters I directly work with agree to, and I have no right to their content or their show. When they leave, they take it with them. And also, I agreed to that I'm going to redirect their RSS feed if they move to a new website. All the stuff that goes along with making sure your show doesn't have an extinction event. Because we often see now where podcasters are part of big networks, or maybe they're using a service and they're trying to extricate themselves from that network or from that service. And they have huge, huge challenges in getting things done to make sure that their show continues under their control.
Sometimes they don't even get the name, you know, the brand, and that could ruin your show. So
you have to make sure you know what your rights, especially if you're coming into a network as a new podcaster and you've applied to be part of a network. Well, the whole role changes there. So you need to make sure you read that fine print and know who's got control of the show and those ownership questions and also the content. Do you have editorial control? You know, if you do an episode and there's something controversial in your episode and the network owner comes back and says, hey, you have to remove that. You have to be able to have the ability to say, no, in my contract, you don't have editorial control. You can't tell me that I have to change this or I have to take this episode down. So you need to make sure that's written out as well on control of content.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And one of the things, you know, personality conflicts, you know, you get into a network and the people you're working with, you just don't mesh with them or they don't mesh with you. You know, be sure it's a good fit. You know, I've seen a lot of times where somebody will get into an agreement with somebody and then, you know, they hate each other's guts by the end of it. And it's just not good.
No. So. Personalities change and objectives change and goals change because sometimes people get into stuff and then all of a sudden they, like, as an example, say a show goes skyrocket, you know, and all of a sudden they're in that top five or top 10 and they're doing really, really well. And they're in a part of a network deal where they want to say, I want to, you know, it's like an artist. I want to go on my own. I want to break away from the mothership. So that is built into these agreements too. How do you get out of a network? And what are the, just so you know these, so that if these personality conflicts or your personality changes because of your show's change, you really got to think ahead on where you want to be or what could happen. You got to plan for the worst and hope for the best. With most networks, though, also revenue share on advertising. What is that split? The concern I always have, even here at Blueberry, is we oftentimes will have an advertising deal come in. And let's say it comes in, I'm just going to use $20 CPM. And that deal is from a third party. In other words, so there's a origin company, you've got the media buyer, and then us, and then the podcaster. So typically, when you work with an agency, they're going to take 15% right off the top of that deal before I even see any revenue. And so if they're taking 15%, then that CPM is already down to $17. And then if I'm going to take my normal percentage, then the podcaster ends up getting screwed. So oftentimes I will have to adjust our commission rate so that it still is only 30%, even with I've lost 15% to the media buyer. So a network can cause an additional grab of cash away from the podcaster. So always make sure that you know what the network's share is going to be. And it could be two or three different models. So there could be a model of ones they do direct deals. There could be a revenue share different from there than those that come in from the media buyers. Because once you get three or four removed, the content creator could get really screwed. So make sure you really have a good handle on all the models of revenue share that you have to do with the network.
Yep. And, you know, just the bottom line is just be sure to read the fine print. And if you're unsure, you know, run it by a lawyer, you know, buy an hour at a time and make sure it's a good fit, because it's harder to get out of than it is to get into.
That's a fact. I'll just put it out there. If you are thinking about joining a network and you need some advice, I'd be happy to do a 30-minute consult with you. If you're a Blueberry podcast hosting customer, just drop me an email, todd@blueberry.com. Because these are big decisions that could have long-term effects on your show. And we're not going to tell you not to do it, but I'm going to go over many of these points and we can talk about your concerns and get into the topic deeper if we need be. So anyway,
yeah.
Do you really want to join a network? Well, there's plus and minuses. And usually the pros outdo the cons. But again, read the fine print, as Mike said. Let's talk about a little Blueberry news, Mike. PowerPress 8.4.4.
As we do when we have these major releases, 8.4 came out and then, you know, little bugs here and there. So this latest one fixes a pretty annoying bug that we have now fixed. So everything's good. And I think he's going to have another release coming out maybe this week for some just minor tweaks. And then we're ready to work on 8.5.
Awesome.
So.
Also, we got a blog post out about pod fading and how to fight it and how to battle it off. And even me, you know, I've been podcasting now 16 years. There are days like yesterday when we were going to do another show that I do and I run into these bandwidth problems. I would just become so frustrated when it was technical. We had a great content lined up, but the way we like to do the show just wasn't going to be able to be executed. And we decided to call it off that episode. But, you know, now today, looks like things are straightened around here. I'll be able to do my regular personal podcast tonight. So it's just those things. Don't let the little things get you down. And this blog article talks about how to fight pod fade, because we all face it. And some of us, sadly, have a couple of pod faded shows.
I have more than the average.
Well, mine was from basically not enough time. I just basically bit off more than I could chew. And that happens to all of us sometimes. Get that big Thanksgiving plate of food, Mike, and then you're like trying to kill it. And you're like, that's kind of way podcasting is. You got that stuff that's over on the side, maybe the cranberries or something you couldn't finish.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we are looking for suggestions. If you know of a show that is absolutely blows your mind that you love, or if you think your show is the show that we would love, like I fell in love with a show here recently that's hosting with us. And feel free to drop Mackenzie an email, because we're looking for shows and individuals that want to be featured in 2021 and our podcaster of the month. You know, here's the thing. We're not magicians and we are always looking for great content. Sometimes it has to be brought to our attention, even if you're the one bringing it to our attention. we'll check it out. Now, we're going to be honest with you. We're going to review it and listen to it and see if it's as good as you think it is. But if you want to be considered for Podcaster of the Month, again, we're looking for people that want to be featured. So contact Mackenzie and you can be on this show as well. So Mackenzie@blueberry.com. So, Mike, we're going to move into the interview. This is with Jen Rodd, and she is over in Europe. She's got an absolutely incredible podcast, Inspirational Interviews. This is the show that I fell in love with, and Jen is very dynamic, and I hope that you guys will enjoy this interview. And plus, we're going to want you to subscribe to our show as well, because I think you're going to like it as much as I did. And with that, we're going to have the interview, and we'll be back with the question of the week. Everyone, I want to welcome Jen Rodd to Podcast Insider. And I had a chance to talk to Jen a couple of weeks ago on a one-on-one, and I was really intrigued with her show. So I said, let's follow up and let's talk about your podcast. So Jen, you do the Inspirational Interviews show. So tell us a little bit about the show and a little bit about you so people can get to know you.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me on your show, first of all. It's funny because I've been asked to do a show before and I actually declined. And then when you said come on the show, then I thought, well, why the hell not? So yeah, so it's cool to be on a show and it's really funny to be on the receiving end because I'm always the one asking the questions. So it's a reverse switch now. But yeah, so Inspirational Interviews is something I guess I've been sort of developing over a long time. I have another show called A Million Stories on YouTube, which I haven't sort of been back to in a long time. But ultimately, yeah, I've just always wanted to capture people's life stories and to share them. But it's kind of been a journey because I've had to figure out like what's the truth in it. Why am I doing it? That's really important to me because I'm someone who's always about the why, which is why I have my show as well. So yeah, it's in a nutshell, I lost a brother a few years ago. He's my twin brother. And, you know, that sort of changed my world forever. I had to sort of reconfigure why I was trying to get into this industry of media and storytelling. So I took a break for a while and had to, you know, really kind of connect with my truth in, you know, my internal conversation. And for me, it became very much about the fact that it's so important that people do what they love because I just stopped doing everything I loved because I thought that the only thing that matters in life is love, you know, because when you lose someone that you love so much, you know, you suddenly have a reality check of what's important in life. And for me, I just stopped doing everything because I thought, okay, well, love's the only thing that matters. So I'm just going to shower everyone with love around me, you know, kill them with love. And then I realized actually, you know, you can't just sit around loving people. You know, you actually have to love yourself enough to enjoy your day, you know, just on something so simple like that. You know, you actually have to just enjoy the day if you're going to live because life and death were suddenly so clear to me. And that's when I realized I needed to start my show. And so I started my previous show called A Million Stories just to be following these simple steps of connecting with my truth, which was finding out about people's life stories and sharing them on and just enjoying my day. So that's kind of the simplicity of it. But then, you know, it was on YouTube and I suddenly learned about this whole world of podcasting. And then I realized, well, hold on a sec, actually, this is something for me, you know, because you can just have a one-on-one conversation with someone about their life story. And it didn't have to involve the visuals. It didn't have to involve all these extra bells and whistles. It was a simple connect with people and find out their life journey and share this on. And so it became very much just an organic process of then starting the show and going out and finding people who were enjoying their life, who were sort of applying that basic principle of just trying to connect with their truth so they could live a happy life. And then, you know, that was very much mirrored from my story of losing my brother. So that's what I do. I go out there and I don't have to find people so much. People come to me in the sense that I have guests on my show and then they say, oh, you need to interview this person or that person. So, you know, the law of attraction, you end up attracting all these human beings that are connected with the story you're trying to communicate. So, yeah, I interview people about their life stories and the hope is to get people out of their heads, you know, the listeners, get them out of their heads so they become more clear. When you're listening to someone else's life story, you forget your own thoughts. And when you forget your own thoughts, you become more clear within yourself. When you become more clear, you know, you become, yeah, more at peace. Your thoughts are, you know, sharper and you're able to connect with your truth. So the idea is also then to inspire the listener, not just to sort of entertain them or distract them, but also inspire them through forgetting their own thoughts.
You know, I hear a lot of stories from podcasters that the reason they start a show is because of some life event. And I know that that's true in my case too. When I lost my dad and my mom and I did a podcast, I think we did about 30 episodes. It was about her process of becoming a widow unexpectedly and all the things in life that was thrown in front of her, like, you know, simple things like can't find the key to the lawnmower because he had it stashed someplace. There's, you know, stuff like that. And I think that life events often, in my perspective, is often the genesis moment for doing shows. Now, you'd already been doing some stuff on YouTube. So do you think then that it was a slow realization that you need to do audio only? Or was there a light bulb moment that made you say, let's do podcasting?
Yeah, there was, because I partnered up with a very cool guy who I have subsequently also interviewed on the show. His name's João Costa, and he's from Portugal, and he's just a really great guy, salt of the earth. And we crossed paths. And when we were talking, I remember we were in this, you know, cool hotel in Amsterdam and we were having a nice coffee and I was telling him about my concept. And he said he was really keen to hop on board. For him, it was really important to capture the visuals because he's a videographer. And I said, listen, you know, do whatever you want. Like, as long as we capture the story, I don't care what visuals you capture. But then I even remember knowing I was interested in just the interview, the story. While I enjoy the visuals and I'm very much a visual person, I remember then it was always mostly about story. So point was, is that it wasn't a light bulb moment per se, but in a way I realized YouTube was attracting more shorter content. And so for me, it then became clear that hold on a second, this podcasting world, and also because another friend of mine kept telling me she's listening to these podcasts, she kept saying to me, Jen, you need to be on the podcast platform. Like, this is such a platform for you. And so ironically, well, she's based in America and, you know, she was really tapping into all these long format podcasts. So yeah, it was kind of gradual, I suppose, because it started off, as I say, with a YouTube channel and then, you know, just realizing, okay, this is definitely a cool platform to hop on board.
Yeah. So I always like to ask on these interviews, you know, there's really two things. What are you getting out of it? And maybe more importantly, we can talk about what your audience is getting out of it, then come back to it. Because, you know, I have the foresight to hear, having spent quite a bit of time with you on the phone and knowing your story about your show. But what is your audience? What is the feedback you're getting from your audience about your show?
So first of all, what is my audience getting from it?
Yeah, it's just, you know, what are you hearing from them when they email you about an interview, or what's their takeaway?
Well, inspiration. I mean, I get messages from people saying, you know, thanks so much for the show, because during Corona, there's so much negativity out there and it's just so great to listen to your positive stories, things like that. Mm-hmm. Or I have people messaging me while they're listening to the show saying, I'm sitting in my tent right now and I'm listening to Kim's interview while the water's dripping from his tent or something. You know, it's just real connection with people. I think the message I'm getting is that people are really appreciating the personal connection that I provide on the show. It's very personal. You get to taste and feel what's going on in someone's life because I'm so descriptive with getting the detail out. And also because I try to always include my listener throughout the show. So, you know, because I've got a lot of people in America, I also have a lot of people in the Netherlands and in South Africa and also in Singapore, all over, then I'm constantly thinking, okay, do they know what this means? Do they know what that means? Because it's an international audience. So I'll always sort of fill it in. So for example, when someone's talking about the bush, now what does the bush mean to someone in America? I don't know. But the bush, if you talk to someone in South Africa, the bush is safari.
Right.
So then I'll immediately like say, oh, guys, by the way, so the bush, it's safari, you know, for right. those of you, wherever, you know, so I'm constantly including people. But yeah, it's just very much the message I'm getting is about thanks for these positive stories. And the energy is always positive. So I think that that's the biggest message.
So you're having people come to you now to do interviews. What is your process then in picking which guest you're going to talk to? Do you research them or do you just dig in and not really do a whole bunch of Wikipedia work? What are the things you're doing to prep?
Is that a research question coming from your side?
Right, right.
Because, well, as you know, so my format, it's raw, not researched, real life stories. Right. So if I'm interviewing someone who's famous, like Ed Stafford, for example, or Chris Morgan, you guys know maybe as the Bear Man or whatever, I don't research. So it's very much, that's the concept. So if I'm interviewing someone famous or not famous, it doesn't matter. And often I get, like in the last interview with Chris Morgan, he's really funny. He's a bit of a control freak, which he says, you know, he just sent me a little quick cheeky bio underneath, you know, so just in case. And I started reading it and then I stopped. I can't do that because if I do that, it's going to alter
right.
the conversation for me. That's the concept. It's raw, not researched. And the whole idea behind is the fact that every interview is just coming from a genuine inquiry within myself. I just naturally love interviewing and asking people questions.
You know, I think that interview style is the best. I know some folks that they spend hours digging through someone's bio. They try to find a nugget here and there. And those nuggets are usually opportunities that were maybe lost by another person that did an interview. But I don't think just those little small nuggets that they're able to drag out overall is what makes people listen to an interview. And I think a lot of it is this rawness. Let's say personally, I have an interest in that person and knowing more, I think I would tune in knowing that it was more of a raw discussion. But at the same point, I think too, it doesn't have to be a famous person because you're just looking for inspiration. You're looking for things that make people go, wow, I can do that. Or, you know, whatever it may be, whatever the message is. Yeah. So what are you getting out of the show then?
Just to quickly add on to that, I mean, I think that that is, it's a very poignant, that point, because someone becomes famous for a few reasons, obviously, but generally someone becomes famous also because they're good at what they do. Okay, let's give the credit for the generalization of why someone becomes famous. But what happens is when someone's listening to a famous person's story, there's a separation between the listener and that person because there's such a huge gap, right? Where while it's inspiring, a lot of the time a person will get left with, at the end, they'll sort of conclude it, okay, well, he's Tom Hanks, or well, he's Ed Sheeran, or well, he's Tom Cruise, or I don't know, whatever, name any of these famous people, or Beyonce, or, you know. So there will always be this separation for the listener because not everyone has that power, right, to rocket launch their life forward. Not everyone has that. So when you're listening to someone else's story, like, for example, Kuniyoshi, a guy who became a sushi chef, and I interviewed him, and it's such a different tone of a conversation. He's Japanese, he's really quiet. So the whole conversation changes in pace. And, you know, I had to give him the space to tell his story. But what's so beautiful about it, he's not famous. He's become well known in this area. But I mean, in the bigger picture of international fame, he's not there at the moment. And I don't know if he's even trying to get there. But it tells another person, wow, you know, he didn't even know he was going to become a sushi chef. And look at his story. And then it becomes so reachable, you know, because he's not famous. So that's why I like to combine the two.
Yeah. I think a lot of us didn't know we were going to become podcasters. And that's, you know, I think that's a surprise to many of us. And of course, this is who we're reaching on this show. So, you know, I think it's obvious, but I'll ask the question anyway. What are you getting out of this? What are you getting out of these interviews?
So it's funny asking me this now because I've had, I think, In the last year, I've had the worst 2 weeks of my entire life in podcasting. So I basically lost a whole bunch of information on an edited interview. Oh. So the irony of the question is that if there was ever a time I could have given up this journey, it would have been in this last week. And, you know, with the support of people around me, just sort of helping me reconfigure, you know, which is what you need. You always need people around to support your process. But when that sort of thing happens, to answer your question, it's like tomorrow I'm interviewing another guy. His name's Dwayne Fields. He's also actually quite well known on TV. I just get so much joy out of the idea in my head that I'm going to have this conversation with this person about their life story. So what I get out of this, I'm not getting the win out of it yet, if you understand what I mean. So it's not that I'm getting on a mass scale accolades or rewards or anything. The reward for me comes when I'm literally sitting like you now with me and I'm just finding out about someone's story and how they got to be where they are today. That process turns me on like big time. So that's what I get out of it. I mean, I don't, you know, where I live, there are no podcasters around here. So it's not that there's a reflection of people saying, wow, well done, you know, wow, cool job. Or, you know, my show's international. So it really comes from within my heart and soul where I get the reward at the moment.
So you might be surprised. So you don't think there's any podcasters around you?
There must be. But I'm a mom of two now. So my life is also very much mom world. I mean, I try to be home as much as I can for my kids as well. Again, having lost someone so close to me has also changed my perspective of I could just get a nanny in, right? And have her take care of the kids while I go focus on my career. But I choose to be here for my kids. So it's hard work, you know? So I'm doing both at the same time. So the point is I'm not getting out there, connecting with the local network of podcasters. I think it's also, you know, I've just been doing it for a year now and there definitely is a group of podcasters in the Netherlands, for sure, but just not in my social circle.
So unlike the United States, most people in other countries speak more than one language. So do you speak Dutch then as well or?
Yeah, I do.
You do. So, but I think most people in the Netherlands also speak English too. So do you get a Netherlands audience or where do you think, you know, based on what you've seen in your show?
I mean, my largest following is Dutch, Netherlands-based people. And then second to that is America and then South Africa. So look, the Dutch are very internationally minded. They're travelers, you know, they're conquerors. So, you know, in their blood. So they enjoy connecting with a bigger world. I mean, Holland's such a small country as well, right? So yeah, the Dutch like to know what's going on around them. They like to connect with bigger stories, bigger pictures.
Yeah, I talked to Adam Curry quite a bit. And when he goes home, he's kind of like a mini celebrity almost when he's in the country. He's not really home. America's his original home, but you know, he was married and lived there for such a long time, but it's definitely a very small, I don't know if the right word is dichotomy of people. Everyone knows everybody really, you know, there's a certain extent of that. So I guess then the question, you know, you and I had talked before about your show and your challenges of growing the audience and getting exposure. And I listened to a couple of the interviews on your show and you get in really deep and you made a comment to me before that, you're like Joe Rogan, but you don't smoke weed and you're a woman.
Exactly. I'm daring enough, but I mean, look, that's obviously my goal. Like, right. You know, if you were to align yourself with another vision of where you could be, that's where I see my show, but also cheekily enough, you know, to say that, of course, because, well, he's JR and I'm JR. So, and I mean, I'm pretty cheeky and daring and outrageous, except I'm more a naturalist and he's more into experimental, right? So it's an interesting conversation.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's definitely pushing the boundaries. So I guess from your perspective, then, do you feel your show is pushing boundaries when you're digging into people's lives and their stories? And do you have your guests leaving, pondering? When your guests get finished, what state do you leave them in? I guess that's the best way to ask the question.
So it's interesting. So you get different kinds of guests, and you get the most part of my guests are very open and they want to let go. And those are the guests that always, I've had guests come to me who've just changed their whole life since they spoke to me. Because look, I am an NLP master coach, but I don't promote myself that way. I don't want to be a coaching platform from that perspective. I want to be very much a more sort of, well, I use Joe Rogan as an example of a type of platform. So I don't want to be a coaching platform, but I am very intuitive as a person. So the guests say to me, I never invest in myself. I never put time into myself. So, okay, cool. I'll come onto your show.
You mentioned an acronym. Maybe some folks don't know what that is. ML.
Oh, so NL, well, it's just the neuro-linguistic programming.
Okay, okay,
so
okay.
It's, you know, it's just an in-depth coaching program that I've studied.
I caused you to lose track a little bit here. So at the end, though, really, it sounds to me like it's almost like a conversation where they can just kind of openly share what they want to share, talk about what they've done. I would imagine people leave your show feeling pretty good.
Yeah, they do. They leave the show feeling really self-connected and always, because I go through their whole timeline. So they leave the show feeling completely in awe of their life journey, but also very reflective and introspective and questioning also their journey, which is why I say a lot of people have come to me, a woman, Jo, who I interviewed, she was a ballet dancer and an artist. Amazing story, got a lot of great feedback on that story. And then she actually, I bumped into her a little while later and she said she completely turned everything around since the interview. And she started gardening and going and designing people's gardens. That's just one example, many.
So you take people all the way through their life story. Are these episodes 5 hours long? How? Because I think it would take me 5 hours to get in deep.
Well, that's the challenge, right? Exactly. It's also the challenge in the editing department, let me tell you. No, but it's, so the show goes up to 2 hours sometimes, just over 2 hours. And the way I promote the show to my audience is, guys, this is not like a quick fix, right? You need to just plug me in the background, plug and play and go and get shit done. <You know? laughs> It's like, just let this cool, positive conversation infiltrate and just let it be in the background. Like you play the radio every day, just play this.
Yeah, but you know, podcasts are more intimate than that. So you can tell them to do that. But if people are listening, they're going to be listening because they're plugged into you. So
Sure. And I mean, it's like me, right? I hold my phone and I walk around the whole house. I've got the kids doing their stuff and either I shoot myself in the head or I put a podcast on so that I don't kill the children.
Right, even. Right.
But, so I'm holding this phone while I'm walking around and I'm doing the laundry and I'm literally, the kids are following me and I've got this phone with me and I'm saying, just let mommy listen to the show now, please. I need to do something for myself. It's true. I carry my phone around me when I'm listening to these podcasts. What I personally enjoy also is where I put it on the loudspeaker and I just do the streaming to the loudspeaker in the house so that it feels a bit more like the radio, you know?
I call it feed my brain. Sometimes you just, you know, I've been encouraging my audience not to watch the news because there's just so much out there. So for me, podcasts are this great step away and you can hear stories like you're creating. And I like long form content. You know, the show that I listen to the most is almost 3 hours. So there's nothing wrong with going long. If you can hold the engagement, that's really saying something over a 2 to 3 hour length podcast. So that's a gift in itself. All right. So we're wrapping down here. How can people find your show? And actually, I know you've got the best domain in the world.
Yeah. Inspirationalinterviews.com.
Easy.
So yeah, well, Inspirational Interviews. So if you just Google Inspirational Interviews, then you'll find my show. And yeah, so Inspirational Interviews on all the platforms, you know, Instagram, Facebook, and well, obviously my website, you know, I love my website as well. And of course, on Blueberry, you can find Inspirational Interviews.
Yeah. Or where podcasts are listened to. We just want them to listen. That's the main thing. So 56 episodes. And, you know, I feel bad for you and you losing an episode. Every podcaster loses one. I lost one recently because a SD card disintegrated and I hadn't copied it over to the hard drive yet. But even now, I run dual backup recordings just because you never know when something's going to go sideways. So feel bad for you for losing one. But every podcaster loses at least one at some point. And it's always the best interview, too.
It's like an initiation, right, into the podcasting world.
Yeah, and it usually is followed by things we can't say on this show. Lots of expletives, so...
Yeah, or just dead silence, which is even worse, actually.
So, Jen, is there an email address, or are you on social, or how can they find you?
Yeah, it's jen@inspirationalinterviews.com and on socials, Inspirational Interviews, and with Jen Rodd. If you just Google those two words together, Inspirational Interviews and Jen Rodd, or Rod, as you say in America.
And her last name is spelled with two D's, R-O-D-D, Jen Rodd. So. Yeah. Well, thank you for being on Podcast Insider. It's been my pleasure to have you on. Best of luck to your show. I always tell podcasters happy podcasting. So I hope you have a better next couple of weeks with your show. And we'll get this out on the podcast. And hey, go over to her website and subscribe. Listen to some episodes over there and give her a shout out. So Jen, thanks for being with us today.
Cool. Thanks, Todd. It was super cool.
All right, thanks, Jen, for spending time with me and doing the interview, and hope you enjoyed that. Look forward to hearing your feedback on her podcast as well. So, Mike, what's the question of the week that came in?
Well, this is not only a question of the week, it's also it seems to be the support ticket of the week. So we're kind of combining the old with the new. So got this one on Facebook. It says, when I try to upload my file to Blueberry Hosting from PowerPress, I get this error. And the error says, authentication failed. Please verify your email and password are correct. And what that usually is that you either changed your password at Blueberry, or you had us change your email address login at Blueberry, or just the internet gods didn't smile on you and unlinked your PowerPress from your Blueberry account. So what you need to do is go back to link it up. I'll have explicit instructions in the show notes. We won't bore you too much with the technicalities, but basically you got to log back into Blueberry from PowerPress, and that will usually take care of it.
Yeah, sometimes you got to unlink the account. Yeah. And there might be something going on there, but basically got to do the step that you did when you initially set up PowerPress, or maybe you did later, to link those back up.
That actually is one of the things we fixed in PowerPress 8.4. Oh. We've changed the way the login works. And basically you have to log into Blueberry itself in the same browser, then you can link up your account. You don't have to remember your password or anything. It's cool. Oh. So it really works great when it works, but anyway.
So the key is be logged into Blueberry, then work on your PowerPress plugin, right?
Correct, correct. So if you logged in there, you got the credentials already and you just link it up that way. But if something went sideways, you have to hit the unlink and then relink it. And it goes pretty good now.
For those of you that have networks, you know, that's a whole nother conversation there on how to link the specific account. So if any of you have more than one show, you definitely want to talk with us on making sure that your media uploads are going to the right bucket so that you can get stats individually for each show. So if you have more than one podcast with us, definitely want to talk to us about that as well. So again, anytime you change your password at blueberry.com, you have to do the link between PowerPress and Blueberry again. It makes sense that that would be the case. So I understand why this is the question of the week. So don't get scared. You're still good. You just need to relink.
Yep.
It's just like getting logged out of Gmail. Yeah. I get logged out of Gmail all the time.
Yeah, it's annoying, but just a fact of the interwebs.
I think if Blueberry customers got unlinked as much as I get logged out of Gmail, I think you guys would pull your hair out. Luckily, it doesn't happen very often.
No, we're not that busy with that question. Just it does happen.
Yeah, once in a while. Yeah. All right, that's going to bring us to the end of Podcast Insider here. This episode number 217, recorded on November 19th.
18.
Oh, that's right. Oh, no, it's 19th today, Mike. What? Yeah, your calendar's off too. But anyway, we want to thank you for being here. And if you wanted to be considered for the question of the week, we've got the ability on podcastinsider.com for you to be able to submit a question via audio as well. And then we'll play it right here and then answer it. Or you can put it in Facebook or wherever. I'm Todd@blueberry.com.
And of course, I'm Mike@blueberry.com. And definitely get a hold of us if you have something cool for the show.
Yep. And again, thank you for listening and being part of our family and doing your podcast, The Blueberry Way. If you want a free 30-day trial of a Blueberry Podcasting, just use the promo code INSIDER at checkout. And of course, don't forget, we have phone support. Remember, you can call a friend. You call Mike, Dave, and have a chit-chat over your questions or issues. And also, I do free 30-minute consults with podcasters that are hosting at blueberry.com. Happy to do that for you as well.
And I'll be happy to do a 30-minute tech check, you know, just make sure everything's tweaked right. So get a hold of us. The links are in the show notes to those two things as well.
All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week here. And we'll probably be a day early next week or maybe on Thanksgiving. Who knows? So anyway, we'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye-bye.